Welcome to another podcast on how to future-proof your career. Today, I have the fabulous Nicole Magoo, and we're talking about ambition. Now, Nicole is the founder of Ambition Unboxed and is a podcaster, a fellow podcaster, and she podcasts, the title of her podcast is Ambition Out Loud. And I thought it was a really great topic, and just like to welcome Nicole.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, same here. So today we're talking about ambition, and let's start off with the thing I find is, why is ambition a dirty word, and is it just for women?
So there's actually a lot of history behind the word ambition that most people are not aware of. I certainly wasn't aware of it until I went digging down this hole to figure out kind of the answer to that question. And the word ambition, and especially its roots in why it's a dirty word for women, actually originates in 14th century in the Roman Empire. So the word ambition originated from this Latin word ambitio. And basically what it meant was to go around campaigning because you were interested in political office of some sort. However, women were legally not allowed to do that. So from its very origin, women were legally barred from being considered ambitious.
Well, who knew? Who knew that it went so far back? And you do have to go back into history to look at these things and to look how long it took women to get the vote, for their husbands not to have control over all their money once they got married. And I know it sounds strange in 2020 that we're still talking about the past, but you can see that people's attitudes are still kind of caught up in this whole thing about women and ambition being a dirty word, and that if you're ambitious and you're a woman, and I'm generalizing here, it's not true for everyone. Here in Australia, we had a fabulous Deputy Prime Minister called Julie Bishop, and she was very competent. She was a foreign minister before she became Deputy Prime Minister. And anyway, the Prime Minister got the heebity-ho because people lost confidence in him. He was actually a good Prime Minister, but, you know, there you go. So she put her hand up. Of course, she didn't get it. And she was kind of outmaneuvered by the men that surrounded her. But following that, she resigned, and she said that in the party room, they would be talking about something and she would say something and kind of like there'd be silence. And then someone else, a man, would say the same things and they'd be like, oh, you know, that's a fabulous idea. And the reason I'm highlighting this is that, you know, she's a very ambitious woman.
Right.
And she's got a lot of street cred. You know, she's been a management consultant. She was in politics for a long time. And yet, you know, people still weren't comfortable with her with being prime minister.
Yeah, I mean, here in the United States, we certainly have our share of that as well. We just went through our presidential election, as I know the whole world has been watching because it's been so unusual. But leading up to that, you know, nobody runs for president or vice president unless they're already ambitious. That's just par for the course if you're going to go for that level of office. And the number one complaint for the women that were running in the presidential primary was that they were too ambitious. Nobody said that about any of the male candidates, obviously. But just the fact that ambition in that sense was weaponized against those female candidates, it just really speaks to that heart of how dirty of a word it is for so many women, as well as, you know, other men viewing women that way. And a lot of women, you know, didn't vote for them simply because they associate ambition as a dirty word with those female candidates as well.
And I know that I can remember years and years and years ago when I was going for one of my first promotions, and you know, the HR woman goes, and so Elise, what would you like to be? What's your future goals? You know, the standard question. And I said, I'd like to be CIO, you know. And she's like, oh, you know, Elise, there are so many other roles that don't require you to be CIO. I would hate to be CIO now. It's so not me. But instead of being encouraging and saying, you know, that's a really great goal there you've got, Elise, you know, how can we help you achieve that goal?
Yeah, absolutely.
I still see ambition being a dirty word, but maybe organizations don't know what to do with women who are ambitious and view them as, oh, well, I think for some of the men, they see women as a threat still. But I hopefully this is a generational thing.
Hopefully. You know, one of the things you asked was, is it only for men or only for women that ambition is considered a dirty word? And I don't think it is. I think that there are times when it's used as a dirty word for men too. But I think more commonly when that's happening, it's because people are conflating the idea of a power grab or some kind of an unearned pursuit of power, which, you know, that leads a whole another level of psychology on why women are not allowed to be considered ambitious, right? Because women in power aren't ideas that we have a hard time wrapping our minds around. But when it's seen as unearned, and that's the way it's viewed within men as well, it does make it really hard when women are already undervalued and they're underestimated in their potential for people to view ambitious women and see that they have a clear career path towards the top, towards a CIO role, when, you know, you could have a woman that outperformed her male peers on her master's program, but for whatever reason, we still have so much cultural perception that the man is coming out of that program more qualified, even if his grades were less significant in many cases, or his accomplishments within the program were less significant. You know, it's just so deeply embedded in our psyches in many ways.
I was talking to a good friend of mine a couple of years ago, and she was, you know, she does a lot of work for the project management community in a not-for-profit way. And she was telling me that, you know, they would say to her, oh, you know, you're being so aggressive, you're being such a bit, you're so this, you're so that. And she's like, I'm doing nothing different than what, you know, I just want to get the results. And so if I'm going to drive people, I'm going to drive people. But it's like she was being slammed for being, making things happen and being forceful. And it's this whole double standard. And I think that this particular issue is also tied into ambition and the dirty word.
Yeah, definitely. I was actually reading here recently, we just in the U.S. recently had our Veterans Day, which is a celebration of people that formerly served in the military, about some of the unique challenges women veterans face when they leave. And one of the biggest issues is just what you're talking about. They're perceived as too aggressive. They're perceived as too direct in their communication style. And so they're almost sort of suggested that they go through kind of like a quasi-finishing school, right? Where they're taught to be softer. Because if you're successful within the military, obviously you're following a very command and control structure. Everyone has very clear expectations around how communication happens in an environment like that. And while men sometimes have a hard time transitioning out of that into civilian life, women really, it was just a non-starter for them when they were trying to find other jobs after leaving the military in many, many cases. So it's just, it goes back to the idea, it's so deeply ingrained that women are supposed to behave ladylike and be soft and be feminine. And if you can get somebody to do something with honey, that's okay. But if you're not using the honey, then you're not ladylike enough for us to be willing to accept you.
And I think that we've got this caricature of, you know, successful, ambitious women. They're that one-dimensional cardboard cutout of kind of like someone in Joan Collins' shoulder pad. You know, she's demanding and all these things. And I think that people associate that stereotype with ambitious women, and she's going to be a ball breaker. She's going to be, you know, terrible.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, never mind the fact that men can behave like that and nobody thinks anything of it, right? Like, there's obviously a double standard there to begin with. But you're right. There's a perception that if you're going to be ambitious, you're only looking out for yourself and you don't care about whose feelings you hurt along the way, and that you can't be both caring and ambitious at the same time, which is a really hard one for women to get around, because women are perceived as being nurturing, motherly. And if you can't be caring and ambitious, you know, again, those are just concepts that we have a hard time meshing in our minds.
I rarely use the word ambition because of its negative connotations. I use things more like career goals or career dreams, you know, a much softer version of ambition.
You would not be alone in that, Matt, that regard.
Yeah, I think that to even come out and say it, you know, I'm ambitious, it's still a bit funny, but I think ambition is more than just climbing the corporate ladder. And I think that if we can break ambition away from, you know, scaling the heights, because we're ambitious to have things that fulfill us at work.
No, I totally agree. And, you know, I started hearing more and more women, when I started really paying attention, doing exactly what you said, kind of skirting the word in their conversations, right? Oh, I'm really driven. I'm really career oriented. But they were really the same women, even though they were highly accomplished. When I'd say, oh, you're really ambitious, they would react. You could see it on their face, right? Like they'd have this negative reaction to the word. And so I started, and I started giving out stickers that say ambition is beautiful. Because it is, right? The goal behind ambition is to pursue something, some vision or some dream that was laid on your heart that you think you're capable of achieving. And that in and of itself is a really beautiful thing. If we would all go after these dreams that we have for ourselves that we know we can contribute to the world in a positive manner, hopefully that will do like you said and stop getting people so hyper-focused on the negative side of it and start giving themselves permission to see themselves in a role where, yeah, I'm ambitious. I have this vision. I have this goal and I want to go after it. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? That in and of itself is a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think about ambition and age?
You know, we talked about this a little bit before when you joined me on my podcast, and I think it's absolutely another layer of difficulty that gets added on top of this. We still have such, especially as our countries and our economies have gotten more and more technology driven, and the idea around innovation is so tied to younger generations within the workforce. We still have a lot of ageism that comes into play here. And there's absolutely no reason why you can't be equally ambitious at 50, 60, 70 as you were at 20 or 30. But we just don't think of people that way in a conventional sense.
You know, at 62, you can still have ambition. And yet I feel that I think it's a bigger deal for people when they're older to say that they're still ambitious than it is for women to say that they're ambitious.
Interesting. So you think that men and women alike, once they get to a certain age, there's more social stigma attached to ambition than for women at any age?
Maybe on par. I'm just guessing.
No. It's a conversation.
But I do think that there is this perception that once you get into your 60s, you're doing the slow slope into retirement. You don't want to be challenged anymore. You don't want this. You don't want that. And it's like society has this perception about people in their 60s and 70s. And yet in the US, you had Joe Biden 78.
Mm-hmm.
The person whose name I won't mention is 74 or something, isn't he?
He's up there as well, I guess.
It kind of like, you know, at 78, he still seems on the ball. And Dr. Fauci is like 79. And I like to see these things, these people shatter everyone's expectations about what it means to age. And, you know, ambition, I'm feeling inspired now to really use the word ambition and not skirt around it anymore.
Wonderful. I mean, you're absolutely right. And I think it's an old idea that we haven't modernized to keep up with the way society works anymore. Because the reality is most people, especially here, I'm sure there's a lot of truth to this for, you know, your community in Australia as well. Most people have 2 and 3 careers in a lifetime anymore. You're not just going and, you know, working for the same company for 30, 35 years and then collecting retirement and moving off into a glorious sunset and enjoying your life. Instead, people are trying to integrate living their lives in the moment and also pursuing the career ambitions they have And then moving into a second career that's always interested them, or a third career. And maybe that third version doesn't look like I want to be CIO anymore. Maybe it looks like I want to establish a foundation, or I want to, you know, put together all these galas and give back to the local schools in some way. But that doesn't make it any less ambitious. There's still, you know, a vision and a dream there, and a desire to give back to society and to go after something that wasn't going to happen otherwise and contribute positively. And I don't see that as any less ambitious just because it might not have the executive title attached to it.
All right. So you've inspired me to not skirt around the issue anymore. So how can we contribute to changing the narrative?
One of the biggest things as women that we can do is to try to embrace the word, because there's so much loaded material within ourselves tied up in this word ambition. If we're comfortable saying we're driven, then it really requires us unpacking some of the emotional baggage that's preventing us from taking that step from driven to ambitious, or from career oriented to ambitious, and questioning, why is it that I'm holding back in this regard? And how is me holding back from the word causing me to hold back from the way I'm living my life as well? You know, if I'm not comfortable with the word or with being perceived as ambitious, does that mean I'm playing it safe in too many other aspects of life, and I'm not really giving it my all in the way that I know I'm capable of doing?
That is important, because until we start saying it and not skirting around the issue like I have been, the more that we are saying that it's okay to say these words. And who would have thought that, you know, a single word has got such negative connotations attached to it?
Exactly. And it's giving ourselves permission to see ourselves that way, right? If we want to have these visions, but we can't envision ourselves as the person doing it, it just goes to show how important it is to take the time to build up our own confidence in ourselves, develop our skills, invest in our dreams. There's a lot of ways that we can go about unpacking this, but as with so many things in life, it starts with acknowledging that there is potentially a gap there and that we might be holding back, and that if we are intentional about going after and pursuing our goals and investing in the skills and the resources we need to make those happen, that we really can step into our potential in a way that we weren't previously.
Yeah. So when we talk about ambition, as we said, it's not about climbing the corporate ladder. And I think that that's important. And, you know, whether you want to have a side hustle, you want to do a career pivot, you, as you said before, you're, you know, coming up to your second, third career incarnation, these are all ambitious things. There are goals that you want for yourself, for your family, for your own mental stimulation, for whatever it is.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's important that women that want the CIO position are encouraged along that path. Don't get me wrong. We need more women at higher levels of organization. But really what it comes down to is women seeing themselves as leaders in many aspects of life and being comfortable leaning in and seeing themselves stepping into those leadership roles. Because again, I really do believe if you were given the dream, if you were given the goal, it's because there is an innate desire within you to make it happen. And you just need to trust that you will develop the skills you need along the way if you're intentional about going after that, and that you are capable of doing it. People are not given dreams because just out of the blue, right? You get this idea. It's your intuition in some sense. And if you can learn how to trust that and to move forward with it, you'll surprise yourself every step of the way at what you're able to accomplish that you didn't see yourself accomplishing before you started the journey.
And do you think that sometimes, for a variety of reasons, that women restrict their career dreams, their ambition?
Yeah, I definitely do. We see women doing that because life is just too challenging at certain seasons in life. And that's okay, right? If we don't have the support structures in place to be able to fully juggle the kids and the school and the job because society hasn't stepped up to put those structures in place for us, I don't want women to feel bad about that. It's okay if you need to take a season and step back for a little bit, but that doesn't mean you have to step back from life as a whole. if you can learn to see it as just a season, and that when you're through that season, you can lean back into those dreams and those goals for yourself, there's no reason why taking a temporary break has to be a future course correction for your entire life. I mean, we definitely see other women leaning back in some regards because they were pursuing a path that as they got there, they just realized it wasn't what they thought it would be. And so now it's not so much that they're less ambitious, it's that they're going through a period of clarification and re-identifying, you know, where the right path is for them to go. That's totally natural. We all evolve as we go through our careers in a plethora of different ways. And so learning how to listen to that and figuring out where that passion lies, I think is important, because to be ambitious, you're going to have grit. And if you don't have the passion and you can't reignite that flame, then it's really hard to be gritty when you need to. And unfortunately, we also still see sometimes women leaning back because there's so much social pressure for them to play the perfect wife and the perfect mother role. And, you know, hopefully we're seeing less and less of that with up and coming generations where, you know, men have been raised to be a little bit more gender equitable, but it's certainly not something we've completely snuffed out yet.
Yeah. If people are interested, that McKinsey have done their annual report about women in the workforce. This year's report focuses on the pandemic and what impact that has had on women and their working lives. And some of the comments from very senior women in that report are quite confronting, because I remember one comment was from this very senior woman that had young children. And she said that before the pandemic, everything was okay. She was able to still be quite senior in the organization. The pandemic comes, she's got to be working, she's got to be at home with the kids. And she said her husband just left it to her. And she was the one that had to give up her career. And she said, why? Why was it me as the woman that had to do that? And so I recommend that report for a very interesting reading about women in the workplace.
Yeah, I certainly hear that a lot. And we're seeing women dropping out of the workplace at really high levels because of that right now. You know, I would just add to that, that even the men who are more gender equitable, we have long generational histories of this stuff. And so even the most well-intending husbands out there, sometimes you have to renegotiate the terms of your relationship because things change and evolve as well. And as long as you can keep that conversation open and fluid and dynamic, I think that's your best bet. Not expecting them to always be able to read your mind and get it, but being comfortable going back and saying, hey, I don't think this is working at the moment. Let's talk about how we can make it work better for both of us.
No, great advice. Okay. So how can women embrace their ambition, Nicole?
I mean, I think it's a lot of the stuff we already talked about, getting comfortable with the word, getting comfortable seeing yourself going after big things that you maybe can't envision doing now, but you can trust that you'll get there someday. We've talked a lot, yourself and I, in the past conversations about investing in your skills. If there's something you don't know how to do, you can hire it out, you can delegate it, or you can learn how to do it yourself. And the answer is going to be different depending on the situation. But they all involve investment to some extent. And so we have to start seeing ourselves as a priority in our lives and not seeing ourselves as only existing to serve and sacrifice for everyone else in our lives. You know, we can love our family as much as we do and we can love our friends, but we have to have a seat at the table with all those people as well.
I agree. I think that that's so true. But I think it's like, let's start saying the word. I'm okay. I'm ambitious. And let's start getting people used to hearing women saying it.
Yeah, and don't expect it to feel comfortable the first couple of times. It's like anything new we try, right? It might take you 6 months before you really can let go of some of that baggage that's been holding you back in the past, but at least you're on the journey towards getting there.
Well, thank you so much, Nicole, for chatting to us this morning. It is such a great topic, and I'm really glad we had the opportunity to catch up and chat about this.
Thank you so much, Elise. It was great to talk to you again, and I look forward to continuing to learn more about what you're doing to help women create age-defying careers.
That ends another podcast from Future Proof Your Career.